own Kellen Olson of ArizonaSports.com. I don't even think I have to introduce Kellen Olson anymore. He's well over, I don't know, 20,000 Twitter followers. Is that what you said, Jarrett? And growing, probably just jumped up another 10.
That's the buzz around the newsroom.
Yeah, it's, the man covered the Suns run better than anybody, and it's we could see it coming, more than maybe we even saw the Suns run to the finals coming. But he joins us now to talk about the NBA draft. Kellen, how's that for an intro?
I do not like how this followers thing is becoming a bit now, because everyone knows how uncomfortable it makes me when you guys bring it up. So now you guys are just going to keep bringing it up. I should stop talking about how uncomfortable it makes me, or you guys will just keep bringing it up. That's how we operate around there, don't we?
It is. You can't show weakness around Jarrett. You know that that's
I didn't even say anything. You said it, you dummy.
You told me off the air to bring it up. And for some reason,
that wasn't
I listened
me.
To
that
you.
Was the web department.
That was the entire web department.
Yes. They banded together.
All right, Kellen. So we're in a weird spot here tonight. We're not talking about the Suns with a lottery pick or a top five pick or the number one pick. They're picking 29th. So in your research looking ahead to this, I mean, has any player stood out or players that you're like, it'd be nice if he was there at 29 and there's a realistic shot?
Yeah, there are a handful for sure. It's a really interesting draft. I think every single one is interesting to a certain extent based on where prospects rank, because there are certain parts of the draft that are better than others. And I think the end of the first round has some value for sure if certain guys are there. There are a couple of point guards that stand out to me. Sharif Cooper out of Auburn, Trey Mann out of Florida. ESPN's mock draft that went up this morning actually had Trey Mann falling to the Suns at 29. I use the word fall because I would expect Trey Mann to be gone by the time 29 is up, and then Sharif Cooper as well. But the thing about the back half of the first round, as opposed to the lottery that we've been used to talking about so much, is that these are prospects with serious flaws that are keeping them from being top 10, top 15 picks. And what happens around this range is that guys start to fall based on those red flags. Teams start to like other guys compared that they start to just pick their guy as opposed to like looking for value. And that's where guys can slip in a couple of different ways. And there are other guards to watch out for sure. West Virginia's Miles McBride. There's Bone Tylan out of ECU. Guard seems to be the area to watch for, and it's worked out nicely for the Suns in that guard should be probably the position they look to add, and it seems to be like the deepest position in this part of the draft.
Looking at their offseason as a whole, I mean, this is such a late pick in the first round. How much do you think what they do tonight in this draft is going to impact other moves they make this offseason, if at all?
I don't think it will at all. I think they're looking at a guy who they will not project to play rotation minutes to start the season. They certainly did not look at Jalen Smith like that even last year, and that pick was 20 picks ahead. So I think that no matter who they get here, it would have to take someone who they're not only incredibly high on, but also kind of blows them away at training camp and just sort of looks ahead of schedule, essentially, and to take a spot. But I don't think if they take a point guard at 29, that means campaign's gone. I don't think if they take a center, that means they're not going to try and add a veteran's minimum big to kind of play the main minutes behind DeAndre, and that will be missing Dario Saric, of course, with his ACL tear. So I think that nothing's going to be indicative of what they're doing, but at the same time, they could add a name that really matters for them in a year or two, and I think that's the most interesting thing about this pick for them specifically, because you are two picks away from the second round. All first-rounders are on a guaranteed contract for the first 2 years, and then they have those player options. You guys will remember Dragan Bender's was declined in his fourth year. We've seen third-year options decline from time to time, but 2 years guaranteed no matter what. So we could hit a point at 29 in the draft where the Suns aren't really interested in giving someone 2 years guaranteed that's available. The guys that they liked are already gone. Or they could look at it the other way where they really like someone there and think, hey, if this guy can work out right away or even next year, we've got him on a really cheap deal because, again, the salaries decrease the deeper you get in the draft. So instead of the $4, $5, $6, $7 million we were talking about around 10 to 11 the past couple of years, you're talking about a guy making half that, and that could be really valuable for them going forward.
You brought up Jalen Smith, and you know one of the biggest needs for this team, you also brought it up in there too, is I mean you're not going to have Dario Saric at least for a good chunk of next year. We already saw in the finals how much they need some help either behind or around DeAndre Ayton just in terms of depth. Not like Jalen Smith's going to step in and instantly be the guy this year, but how much do you expect them to use him this year, or is that still kind of a wait and see and they're going to have to address that need elsewhere?
Well, the biggest question and something that's going to be interesting to hear from James Jones tonight when we are going to talk to him after the draft is just where they evaluate his development and just where they see him kind of going forward in their plans. Because Jalen, when they drafted him, Jalen's a guy who can block shots, rebound, really energetic, long guy, and has some three-point shooting to his game. So it looked like, okay, you're talking about a guy who can come in right away, knock down shots, rebound, block shots, kind of a stretch five, right? But Jalen's a pretty athletic five and can move really well and can handle the ball a little bit. And it seemed like what happened is the Suns looked at that and saw a lot of potential in him and said, like, we could actually turn him into more of a 4-5 combo where he can work on ball handling. And if you come into the arena early, you'll see him 2.5 hours, 3 hours before the game working on ball handling. And I think that they've really been looking at him as a long-term project to kind of open up his perimeter game more. So I wonder where that lies into the fact of, are they going to now look at him potentially as a five now that they could need him there, actually, with Dario Saric's injury? They didn't before, but now they do. And I just wonder where exactly their plans are for him going forward. That was the impression that I got on draft night last year, and then just kind of watching him warm up, watching him play in the G League bubble for what we saw. That was the same impression I got as well, that we're looking at more of a four than a five. But that could change. That was before Dario's injury, and we'll have to hear from James and see next year.
Kellen, isn't it more fun to be talking about the Suns picking 29th in the draft instead of trying to figure out who they're going to take in the top 10 for once?
I think it's fun from a perspective of not having to look at this for months, right, and the stakes being lower and not feeling like the pressure of, like, I don't think anyone's going too crazy here. I don't think Twitter is going to burn down because they selected this guy instead of that guy, right, where the Cam Johnson pick happened, the Jalen Smith pick happened, and there was a lot of negative reactions to both of those, including for me. So I don't think you'll find me negatively reacting to whatever they do here at 29, but I think it is fun. It is more fun when the stakes are higher. I got to admit that, like, looking at those types of prospects, especially guys you can look at that they took, like Cam Johnson's a serious piece of their long-term future. We can talk about Jalen Smith potentially really being an important guy for them in the rotation next year because it's a lottery-level talent, whereas the guy at 29, you're just hoping to kind of get lucky here and maybe land a guy who can come off the bench for you at some point.
There's not going to be a moment where they pass on Tyrese Haliburton and you, me, and everybody else in the newsroom just groans. We're not going to have that tonight, at least.
I don't think so. Maybe they'll be like, oh, man, I liked that other guy at Oklahoma or something. But, I mean, that'll be the extent of it. That's all you'll hear from me, at least, tonight.
All right, Kellen, good stuff. I'll talk to you tonight on the draft show. Thanks a lot, man.